overboard. As soon as land was out of sight and they were in the open sea, Arion sensed that something was wrong. He was used to being stared at. He was, after all, as outrageously beautiful as he was talented. But the looks that were being directed at him by the crew were of a different order. Days passed in this sullen and threatening atmosphere, and he grew more and more uncomfortable. There was something in the sailor's eyes that resembled lust, but suggested a darker purpose. What could be wrong? Then, one hot afternoon, the ugliest and meanest looking of the sailors approached him. "What you got in that chest you're sitting on, boy?" Of course, Arion's heart sank. That would account for it. The sailors had heard tell of his treasure. He supposed they wanted some of it, but he was damned if he was going to share his hard-won prize with anyone but Periander. He had earlier planned in his mind to tip the crew generously at the end of the voyage, but now his heart hardened. "My musical instruments," he replied. "I'm a kitharode."
"You're a what?"
Arion shook his head sorrowfully and repeated, slowly, as if to a child, "I play the kithara." Such a mistake.
"Oh, do you? Well, play us a tune, then."
"I'd rather not, if you don't mind." "What's going on here?" The captain of the brig approached.
"Snotty kid says he's a musician but won't play. Says he's got a kithara in that box of his."
"Well, now, I'm sure you won't mind showing it to us, will you, young man?" The full ship's complement had circled round him now.
I'm not feeling well enough to play. Perhaps tonight I'll be in better shape."
"Why don't you go below and rest in the shade?"
"No, I prefer the fresh air."
"Seize him, lads."
Rough hands lifted Arion up as easily as if he were a newborn puppy.
"Let me go. Leave it alone. That's not your property."
"Where's the key?"
I've lost it."
"Find it, boys."
"No, no, please, I beg you."
The key was easily found and wrenched from around Arion's neck. Low whistles and murmurs arose as the captain loosened the latch and raised the lid. Light from the glitter of gold and flash of gemstones danced on the sailors' greedy faces. Arion knew he was lost.
"I am quite prepared to share my treasure with you."
The sailors seemed to find the offer highly amusing and laughed heartily.
"Kill him,"
said the captain, taking out a long rope of pearls and holding them up to the light. The ugliest sailor took out a knife and approached Arion with an evil smile.
"Please, please, may I at least sing one last song? My threnody, my own funeral dirge, you owe me that, surely. The gods would punish you if you dared send me to my death without a cathartic obsequy of some kind."
"I'll stop you spouting those bloody words,"
snarled the ugly sailor, drawing closer.
"No, no," said the captain, "he does have a point. We'll let our Cygnus sing his swan song. I suppose you'll need this lyre."
He fished the kithara from the chest and gave it to Arion, who tuned it, closed his eyes, and began to improvise. He dedicated the song to his father, Poseidon.
"Lord of the oceans," he sang, "king of tides, earth-shaker, beloved father, often have I neglected you in my prayers and sacrifices, but you, great one, will not neglect your son. Lord of the oceans, king of tides, earth-shaker, beloved."
Without warning, clutching his kithara tightly to him, Arion leapt overboard and dropped into the waves. The last thing he heard was the laughter of the crew and the captain's dry voice.
That was easy.
Now for the spoils. If any of them had bothered to look down, a remarkable sight would have met their eyes. Arion had plunged below the surface and was fully intending to open his mouth and let the seawater in without a struggle. Someone had told him that drowning is a sweet and pleasant death, a slow passing into sleep, as long as you don't fight it. Choking is a terrible, panicky nightmare, but true drowning is a serene and painless release. So he had been told. Despite this comforting knowledge, Arion kept his mouth firmly clamped, and with bulging cheeks he kicked at the water, hugging his kithera. And then, just as his lungs were ready to burst, something amazing happened. He felt himself being pushed upwards, pushed hard and fast. He was surging through the water. He had broken the surface. He could breathe. What was going on? It must be a dream. The rush of the water, the bubbles and spray, the tilting, rocking horizon, the booming in his ears, the soaking, the roar and the dazzle, it all prevented him from understanding what was happening until he dared look down and through stinging eyes saw that he was on the back of a dolphin. A dolphin! He was riding it over the waves, but its skin was slippery, and he began to slide off. The dolphin barreled and twisted, and Arion was somehow righted again. The animal had deliberately manoeuvred to keep him safe. Would it mind if he stretched out one hand and held on to the dorsal fin, much as a horseman might grip the horn of a saddle? The dolphin did not mind. Indeed, it bucked a little, as if in approval, and increased its speed across the water. Arion slowly reached for the strap of his kithera and swung the instrument behind him so that he could enjoy the ride with two hands on the fin. The brig was out of sight now. The sun shone down. Dolphin and man ploughed furrows through the sea, sending up plumes of iridescent spray. Where were they going? Did the dolphin know? "Hey, dolphin, set your course for the Gulf of Corinth. I'll direct you when we get there." The dolphin gave a series of squeaks and clicks that seemed to indicate understanding, and Arion laughed. On and on they went, chasing the ever-disappearing horizon. Arion, confident of his balance now, pulled his kithera back round and sang the song of Arion and the dolphin. It is lost to us, but they say it was the most beautiful song ever composed. At length they reached the gulf. The dolphin negotiated this busy shipping lane with graceful zipping ease. Sailors on the busy barks, barges, and small boats turned to stare at the remarkable sight of a young man riding a dolphin. Arion steered on the fins with gentle tugs this way and that, and they did not stop until they had reached the royal docks. "Send word to King Periander," he said, stepping from the dolphin onto the quay. "His minstrel is returned, and feed my dolphin."